This is The Pulse, stories about the people and places at the heart of health and science. I'm Maiken Scott. This story is part of our episode, Language. You can find us on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts.
I know what I want to say, but it doesn't come out clearly. I want to tell you so much, but I can't.
Mike McGail is 51. He closes his eyes to concentrate.
I'm sorry, but I hear everything. I know what's going on around me, but I just can't respond to it as quickly as I used to.
Mike had a stroke about a year and a half ago, a blood clot in the brain, and with that, he lost the ability to communicate clearly.
It's a tough thing. I started out with one word per day, today's a bad day for me.
Alana Gordon has looked into what we know about language recovery after stroke and what might be next for people like Mike. She's here now to talk more. Hey, Alana.
Hey, Maiken. So what Mike, who we just heard from, has is something called aphasia. And aphasia can actually reveal a lot about how language works and how it doesn't. It's a condition that can manifest differently for different people, depending on the type of damage to the brain. So it can cause difficulties in reading, writing, speaking, comprehension, all these things that are so essential, but we may not notice on a day-to-day basis. But the thing is, aphasia is often misunderstood.
It affects language processing. It does not affect intelligence.
Karen Cohen is a speech language pathologist, and I met her and Mike and others at Moss Rehab's Aphasia Center in suburban Philadelphia.
And that's really important because the word that's used here is that when people with aphasia talk, other people think they're stupid. And that can be the perception.
Karen runs a weekly conversation group, and she and others are sitting around this long rectangular table in a bright room at the rehab center. The focus here is on building social connections and confidence and communication strategies for when the words just won't come or when they're all jumbled up.
I'm a retired microbiologist.
That's Richard Berman. He's 74, and he had a stroke 6 years ago. As a result, he struggled to say this word, microbiologist, his lifelong profession. But here, everyone encourages him to keep trying and to keep practicing, with the help of some lighthearted teasing.
We like to make him say it as much as we can because of the way his speech was affected for his stroke. Somebody else can say it and not have any trouble with it. But the strategy he actually uses is to say it one syllable at a time, and it comes out perfectly.
Microbiologist.
Yay.
It's fine.
This group is actually part of a growing shift in how aphasia is treated. But Maiken, science itself actually owes a lot to this condition, aphasia, for what it has revealed to us about language systems and the inner workings of the brain itself. You with me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's cue up the neuroscientist.
Aphasia, in the setting of stroke, is actually one of the most important disorders in the history of neurology for establishing the idea that there is a relationship between different regions of the brain, different centers, and cognitive ability.
Roy Hamilton runs a lab for cognition and neural stimulation at the University of Pennsylvania. He says in the mid-1800s, a patient who became known as Tan completely shook the medical field.
And the reason he was referred to that as Tan was because after he had had his lesion in his brain, that was the sound that he primarily generated. Instead of coherent speeches, Tan, Tan.
So he would walk around being like, Tan, Tan?
Yeah, you would ask him questions. He would try to answer effortfully, frustratedly, and that's what he would produce, Tan.
When Tan died, the neurologist Pierre-Paul Broca studied his brain, and he saw that the left frontal area of Tan's brain was the part that was damaged. And what that told him, what that told us, is that for most people, language is localized in the brain in the front left hemisphere. It's an area that now bears Broca's name.
And we now often refer to patients who have this problem that predominantly involves the production of language as having a Broca's type aphasia.
This idea that certain parts of the brain are responsible for specific functions was really big at that time, and it's a concept that still continues. So you have damage to one part of your brain where language works, language is impaired, right?
Yeah, makes sense.
But there's more to it. Because even when part of the brain that's responsible for language, let's say, is damaged, the brain can still recover language function.
Hmm.
Right. So Roy says other parts of the brain may work to compensate for this and find alternate paths. Plus, language, it's not entirely siloed in just one part of the brain.
One of the big things that we now understand to be different is that the brain is not static in its function.
It has a plasticity, or neuroplasticity, to it. Roy and others can better observe this in the brain thanks to modern imaging, like fMRIs. He has studied dozens of people who've had strokes months and years later. And what he can see is that the brain is working around that damage. Parts of the right side of the brain light up.
In an effort to process and speak language.
Yeah. But now, Mikan, he wants to take it a step further. And that is the sound of what?
That's the sound of transcranial magnetic stimulation. That is the jostling of wrappings of wire inside this coil.
Roy fires up the electromagnetic stimulator machine that's in his lab.
I would describe them as about the size of a 1980s VCR.
This therapy, where you take magnetic pulses and focus it on the head that then stimulates certain parts of the brain, is actually approved as a targeted treatment for depression. But he wants to figure out how to use it to help stimulate the brain to activate language recovery. But before he can do that, Mikan, he has to figure out what are the properties of how the brain decides what alternate pathways to take, and then how effective those pathways really are.
Wow, that sounds super complicated.
I know. But there is a more urgent question, especially for those people who wind up at the aphasia center or maybe never make it there, which is this. How much time does the brain actually have to repair itself? Roy says the traditional thinking has been you kind of plateau after about 6 months after having something like a stroke. It is true that therapy is critical during that time, but
there is more evidence to suggest that, in general, this arc of recovery is likely much longer than we think it is.
The brain continues to repair and recover language over time.
Well, I think speech-language pathologists have always known that.
Sharon Antonucci is director of Moss Rehab's Aphasia Center.
While there are no guarantees about where you will end up in your recovery, opportunities for rehabilitation and opportunities for improving and increasing communication skills are lifelong.
Sharon worries that people may stop getting therapy and, even worse, kind of give up 6 months after their stroke, because what they're often hearing from their doctor is that they won't get any better after that.
And that message seems to be fairly pervasive, and I think it's a message that is created due to lack of education and lack of experience.
She says the implications of this are huge, because social interaction is a critical part of the rehabilitation process. But losing that ability to communicate is incredibly isolating.
A piece of data that is going to be coming out soon suggests that 20% of people who are 6 months after stroke with aphasia report having no friends.
So if you look down somewhere around 10 lines, it says Jones was an indispensable, mysterious... Anybody have it?
A few doors down from Sharon's office, The conversation group transitions into a midday book club. Charlie Salbert volunteers to read a passage.
Fighting the shadow war along the watery borders between the Union and rebel territory.
He had a stroke 3 years ago. Initially, he says his daughters had to really push him to attend this group because he was so scared about not being able to speak around others.
And his mastery of the river was so complete.
What do you think would have happened had you not come here?
I'd still be sitting in the house. I don't think my speech would be as good as it is now. And I think I'd be sitting home alone, just wondering what to do.
Even able to calculate the most propitious time.
For Charlie and others I talked to here, spaces like this are a lifeline. Because here, they're able to do something that's really hard to do outside. Finally complete their sentences, no matter how long that might take.
It may sound strange to you, but it's important that people understand that people with aphasia need time to finish their sentences. Don't interrupt them. I mean, that's probably the worst thing you can do, because it's very, not only demeaning, but it's, what's the word I'm looking for? Destructive to their confidence.
Thank you, Alana.
Thanks, Mikan.